Right, are we live, Grambo?
You boys live.
Hit it, dude.
Welcome to the Dudes That Grow panel. Now that I got my hair done, thanks, chat. Looking good. Let's talk terps, man. Let's get into it. What are they? How can we grow them? How can we preserve them? Amongst plenty of other things, with a great panel we have of growers today. Bring them on in, Scotty.
Yeah, come on, man. First off, sitting right next to me or across from me, Hot Rod Grows. What's up, brother?
What's going on, everybody? How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. Ready to get high, man.
Always stay high, ready to get higher.
Hot Rod shows up. Rasta Jeff, what's up, brother?
Yo, I'm hanging out equally as prepared to get equally as high, man.
Yeah, there's just no sense in trying to keep this one under wraps, man. We're going to get high, man. That's why I called JR. Did you bring the weed, JR?
I did. I always come through, brother. I always come through.
Mr. JR Token. I hope that's a real room you're in, JR. So look at that. You might win the background award.
I love it. It's moving. That's my favorite thing. It's not just a still image. It's like actually like undulating.
Come on, let's talk terpy weed, man.
Oh my God.
I can't even. Wow.
What just happened?
What did happen, man? It was like a JR eclipse, man.
Hey, yeah, thank you, Cortez the Conqueror. Dude shouted you out, but once again, thanks, Cortez.
Right on, Cortez. Did anybody see that eclipse? As long as we're just live and it actually happened today? I went and got a welding
right
mask and checked it out.
I did the exact same thing. Yeah, right? It was my welding hood, too.
Yeah, it was kind of neat. It was neato.
Oh,
AJ. Yes, sir.
Oh, I saw somebody said turn me up in the comments. Let us know always, guys, in the comments if we have any audio issues, but we're getting this shit pretty dialed.
Yeah, you guys share audio, so I don't know if I turn it up.
Me, man.
You sound, but it's probably probably low to the chat.
JR, what is your definition of terpy weed? I wrote down how do you get terpy weed, and you just defined what terpy weed would be, man. What'd you say?
For me, it's like you just go into a motel room, you open your jar, and if you get a fine, you know your terps are okay. If you don't get a fine, that means you need to go home, add some organic biostimulants and some microbes, and you'll be good.
I love it, man. I love it. That's funny, man. It's closed. Now, you know what? I was going through dudegrows.com, and I saw there was a bunch of questions on people that were either trying to preserve their terps, and a lot of it had to do with, like, the temperatures and humidity. I'm not saying VPD, dude. I am not saying it. Of their rooms, the conditions of their rooms. So I don't know. I thought we could talk about it. Rasta Jeff, man, what is your biggest factor?
I think you're right on the money. Temperature, humidity, light intensity, that's a big factor. Light definitely degrades and modifies terpenes. We'll talk more about that if you remind me in a little bit. But yeah, I think the VPD, you don't want to say VPD, but I think that is a huge factor. And then a lot of people ruin their weed in the dry and cure process. I think a lot of people just destroy it there. You spend 10 weeks growing it beautifully and then try to speed dry it and wonder why it tastes like hay.
Yeah. All that is preserving terp. So we're used to, we talk a lot about growing, you know, our cannabinoids and growing everything. But yeah, I would imagine, just you mentioned light. I can imagine you could destroy them with, I don't know, too much light. There's not a thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's too,
they're
really?
Volatile compounds. Yep, volatile compounds. They could be broken down just like any other organic compound, and light will help degrade that.
Huh.
And it'll change the chemistry in the terpenes and the cannabinoids as well. So, you know, if you're not careful about the way you store and preserve and dry and cure, you like Rasta Jeff said, you'll just be making a hay factory, and nobody likes hay terps.
Yeah. So what's the number one problem? I'll ask Hot Rod because we can just keep this conversation going.
I'll just say genetics. Nobody said it. That's why we all do a pheno hunt, right? We all are trying to find that one thing. For me, flavor is my number one thing. I don't care about the effect if it tastes horrible. So I got to have something that tastes good from the beginning of the joint to the end of the joint. Don't get hand me a joint that tastes good for 3, 4, 5 puffs, and then I have 30, 40 puffs that taste horrible. Nobody's going to want to smoke the rest of that joint. So to me, you got to find the right genetics.
Yeah, that's a big deal, man. What do they say? You can't have a strain perform over its genetic potential.
Very true. I agree with that.
Yeah, makes sense. Dude, so, yes, sir.
Oh, I was going to say, we were talking about light and things changing terps. I was going to wait longer to drop this, but it's a good time. I've noticed that if the light gets too close to something that is a little bit lemony, like I used to run HPS light. All this happened under HPS. If that HPS gets too close to my plants with lemon terps, it will enhance the lemon. I think the limonene terp is a stress response, and it reacts to stress and too much light intensity. So if you're growing a lemon Jeffrey, a lemon diesel, something you want to bring out the lemons, maybe too much light stress will enhance that lemon terp is something I've noticed.
Are y'all measuring your lights?
Along with that, though, also those citrus terpenes are much more less volatile. They really have a good punch, and they stick around a lot longer than some of your more creamy or mono terpene type stuff that just kind of gets, lost pretty quickly.
Wow. So I can, if you don't mind me asking really quick. So it is some terpenes and flavors are a lot easier to preserve than others. There's things like you were just saying, the creamy flavors or whatever. That's, you have to be much more gentle with them.
And you also have to be more coaxing with some of these terpenes as well. If you don't have the right things for it in its environment and its uptake of nutrients, it's not going to produce the kind of terpenes that you need. And like I said, some of them are really volatile. And that's why some guys kind of go back and forth about washing for hash, because I think a lot of the monoterpenes get lost in the wash. And then so, but I mean, at the end of the day, people argue that rosin is plenty terpy. Well,
look
so,
at Hot Rod, you know, man. I didn't like that at all.
I think Hot Rods could probably speak to that more than anyone.
Yeah, as far as losing terps in the wash?
It depends on your trichome head. Like, you definitely will lose your terps in your wash if you have more of a greasy head, because everything kind of just breaks and gets stuck in the wash. Like, and if you know it, down in South Florida, you go to the boat ramp, you just see that oil sheen on the top of the water. Mm. So that's all your terps and all your trichomes, everything just kind of busted and everything. So some terps and some trikes just aren't good in the wash.
Yeah, we were talking, you've got me thinking now when we're talking about strains, you go, oh, that one washes, doesn't wash well, or that one washes great.
Right.
That's what the new, that's what the new kind of measurement is how well they wash.
So not only how well they wash, but because you don't want something that washes, say, 6%, but it only grows like a pound per 5x5.
Yeah. Because
then 6% like doesn't really mean anything to you. So like you still want something that like, because I know Jaren talks about it, is you want, we're resin farmers, we're trying to grow like grams of resin per meter squared. So you still want that, everybody goes by that return percentage, right, and everything, but his number is a better way to go off of it. So you want to go off of multiple things.
Give me a fair, show off your yield. Show off that jar we're smoking. We're smoking, man.
So this was just off of one 5x5, my legal 6 plants here in Colorado.
That's what I was going to ask you. For real, that's one 5x5's
worth?
Yeah,
so this was a Fino Hunt of Dolce de Frisa. One plant of Cushman's and one plant of ice cream cake.
Oh, it's a salad, huh?
Yeah, so it was a couple of different strains mixed in here. So it has like a nice grapey, gassy terpene.
Let me check it out.
It.
I did want to mention on interesting on terpenes that on, from you a really grower's get perspective,
the gas,
a,
man. And the
a plant's perspective, that they are a defense mechanism. And interesting, I was Googling around a little bit, but they can be produced either to repel certain insects, I believe, that might be an issue, or attract. I was reading some terpenes actually attract carnivorous insects to eat the herbivore insects. And like just that whole cycle of nature that we're it's enjoying amazing. That the plant's putting out either is awesome.
We were talking about and this I, for... Yes, sir.
I've never got a solid answer to the number of possibilities in terpene profiles in the cannabis plant. I've heard it can produce up to 600 different and 200. I've heard all these numbers, but I've never heard anyone solidly say that these are all the combinations that are possible. But what I have heard is that the cannabis plant produces more different terpene profiles than any other plant on planet Earth, period. No other plant puts out so many different combinations and variations of terpene profiles than the cannabis plant does. And some people say that the plant doesn't even come from Earth, that it was a gift brought to us celestially.
All I know is that girl has manipulated us over the years. Just so, think about every damn continent they got working on her.
Can I speak to those terpenes and everything, the combinations of it? Like, I don't really like going off of saying beta carophyllene and all these different terms and everything. Sure. Like if I open this jar and be like, yo, this smells like strawberry shortcakes. Everybody knows what a strawberry shortcake smells like. If I open another jar of flour and I say, yo, this one smells like grapes and a little bit of vanilla frosting.
Right.
Everybody knows what grapes and vanilla frosting smells like. So I understand. I want people to understand terps and know that there are different terps and the medical benefits behind each terpene. But when we talk about it on the day-to-day basis, why get that scientific? Because I know most people are just going to roll their eyes at you and be like, dude, why are you talking like this to me? Like, dude, it smells like grapes. It smells like oranges. Right. Why are you trying to say all this scientific stuff? Like, let's just be real about it. If you want to, like, if you're talking to your doctor and you have, like, this medical condition and you're like, hey, my stomach hurts. I notice when I smoke something that smells like oranges, it helps me. Your doctor can use these big fancy words and they can tell you, go look at these lab results and blah, 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 and find test results that have these terpenes. Then you can use it, like, in a more specific, detailed manner in that way. But I think when all of us are hanging out and talking, nobody really wants to be that snobby and use the scientific terms of terpenes. But that's me and my people that I talk to, at least.
And whiskey people do. You know, wine people do.
I mean, do they say this smells woody and oaky and I can smell the earth from France.
The difference?
I mean, but they're not saying like beta carophyllene and all these different fancy analogies like that. So, I mean, that's fine saying like it smells like this.
I've never opened a box of donuts and said, oh, that smells like limonene and humulene and I can get the water.
Exactly.
Bananas and cake.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't name five terpenes off the top of my head.
I tell you what, do me a favor, Grambo. This VPD science chart, would you click it for me? Yeah, and up, keep going down. First one in green. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There you go. You want to talk some terpenes? What do you think, man?
Time.
Dude, I was looking for terpene information, and this is the first thing I found.
Are you gonna break this down for us?
I have no idea what it means, man. Click the next one, man.
Come on, Scott, Scotty.
Oh, let's see. Yeah, what do you think, Grandma? Don't worry about it, man. Can we get the next one up? The terpene wheel up? No. The wheel? No. The wheel of terpenes? No. Let's see. Yeah, no, nothing's working. We've been having technical difficulties.
That's all right. That's all right.
Yeah, I had this wheel. It has like pinene and linalool, myrcene. It had about six of them. But it was talking about the different, the different effects. Oh, yeah, Grandpa? All right. We should do every show live, you know?
There it is.
I thought it was kind of cool, man. Put it this way. Compared to the other terpene chart, I was like, what temperature do terpenes volatilize off? That's what I was really interested in. And I don't know. It was pretty interesting, you know? So it looks like most of them, we talk about temperature, keeping your temperature down in the grow to keep these terpenes from volatilizing off. But looks like most of these are pretty stable. Yeah, up to like I got 300 degrees. Yeah, they're all in the 300s. So theoretically, you should be able to blast the light right on these and at least not have temperature to degrade them.
But what are the terpenes being held in? Is that being able to withstand that high of a temperature?
I don't know. Grandma, hit the gong when you get a chance, will you, man?
You got a gong?
I don't know. I thought this was interesting, though, man. Like I said, they got the pinene. Hey, keep on that one, if you would, Grandma.
The thing that I thought was interesting about the first one,
the wheel,
and it was the way that it broke down the volatilization of the different terpenes, mono versus sesquiterpenes. I didn't understand, you know, that vapor pressure had that much impact on what's being lost and what can be preserved. And I always run my runes a little cool. Like if they say to, you know, run your room at 80 to 83 in LED, my leaf surface temperature is 76, 78 still. Yeah. Just because I think I think especially towards those last few weeks of flower, I think it's important. And I think that's what happens if you run a room too hot. And I could be wrong, but I think if you run a room too hot, you risk losing a lot of the terpene profile or its ability to crank them out.
I think it's the production more than the loss, the lack of production.
So the system just shuts down and it's not banging out. Yeah, it's just
trying to hydrate itself. It's just trying to stay wet and stay alive at that point.
So I had a dog ruckus, man. I had to stop a dog ruckus going on, man. Ricky Bobby got big, huh?
What's Ricky Bobby's favorite strain?
Oh, you know what? Ricky Bobby can handle. You know, there's some dogs that can handle the weed and some dogs that can't. Yeah, Ricky Bobby, he can handle it, man. Oh. You know what I mean? There's some dogs, they accidentally will eat a bud from the floor and they're like, never again. Then there's other dogs that are like, yeah. Yeah, when you trim it again, man.
Right? You should drop something, Dad. Do you guys feel like you can tell, can you identify the difference in like terps when you smoke something? Can you tell the effect, the different effects you get from terps?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And then you can ID. Yeah.
Some strains that you can smell that'll invoke even nausea. Like, you know, like there's certain varieties that you just don't like to trim just because the smell of it over 3 or 4 hours makes you want to actually vomit.
It is true. You're right. I've had weed that will turn your stomach after, especially when it's wet.
But the effects of some of the terpenes? Like, some of them make you sleepy, some of them make you laughy, giggly, some of them take your pain away and everything. So if you go and grab one jar when you have one feeling, isn't that what the terpenes are doing?
And we've definitely talked about this, that, like, JR, you use specific strains for pain, right? Specific. And what is it? What are the most effective ones for you?
I go heavy stuff, you know, like if I can smell... that earthy, skunky, if I can smell that kind of gassiness, I know those varieties are going to be the ones that are going to work usually, typically, for what I need, that sedative kind of pain relief. But this Tiki Rain, man, it's different. It has a very kind of a woodsy, spicy plum smell to it.
Oh, and, like a humulene kind of thing, right? I'm looking at my chart.
Yeah, right.
Looking
yeah.
at my You're... chart.
Okay. I thought you were busting my balls.
You guys are going go ahead, JR. Don't let me cut you off.
But no, I do find that I can hit a jar and I can pretty much know. And I can sometimes smell those ones that are going to make me racy. Like, I know it's going to be a long or an intense ride, I guess I should say.
Do you feel like the those OG Kush sort of things, OG Kushes, Afghani things, they kind of put you down and mellow you out almost in the same way like an opioid would in a similar effect?
Absolutely. That is actually the part that I'm trying to mimic. And I think those RSOs, doing those intense RSOs are great exits for dudes who've maybe went down that opioid road and they need to kind of pull back or get off.
Right.
It's a really good replacement at those higher doses to help them kind of navigate that sickness and mind fuck that everybody experiences when they try to get exit off that shit, you know.
There's something in that terpene range I call them low notes. I think in weird, I've got synesthesia. I think in weird ways when it comes to terps, I think high notes and low notes, the notes you're talking about would be what I consider low notes. I find those lower notes in things with garlicky flavor. If it's got garlic or like bar trash can sort of puke sort of smell, it's going to have that. And there's something in those terps that is proven and scientifically tested to have a similar effect on our body as opiates. They've actually proven that in a lab.
Really?
Yeah, so those terps are hitting, and those are terps that are more closer to alcohols is what those actually are. If you looked at them, it's more like an alcohol than a terpene.
It's like an ester, right? Is that
exactly?
Is that,
yep, esters yeah. and palliates.
Yeah, and then we have got our we also have volatile sulfur compounds that are part of the whole entourage thing that we really are just now tapping into. I mean, we're just getting into the science of what that brings to the table.
Yeah, can we start that movement, make sulfur a macronutrient movement? I mean, come on, guys, right? No, it is a big deal for terpenes, man. Sulfur does add a lot of flavor. Grambo gone yeah, again, why will you, brother?
I like to use molasses pretty much all the way up to week 8 just because you get your sulfur, you get a lot of the other nutrients and like iron and some of that other stuff that's in blackstrap that you don't get in some of the other clear sugar products.
Yeah. Yeah, I just noticed the plants can handle it.
The question, I presume Grambo hit that gong is some type of code for the dog door, maybe?
Yes.
But what? Us as listeners, we expect a gong. Like, I know where's the gong? And the first time you said it with me on the show, I was confused, waiting for the gong.
Show the action. Gong. Yeah, it's like, you know how, like on rock and roll, the drummer will be doing that, and it'll just go gong, gong in the back. So it kind of reminds me.
I have a message here because this April, SeedsHereNow.com invites you to embark on a gardening journey like no other. Our double feature celebration showcases the irresistible cookies flavors and the innovative excellence of compound genetics, Scotty. Cookies. All at 20% off. Get your gloves ready for National Gardening Week as well with a special buy two, get one free deal that will make your garden the envy of the neighborhood.
Stop.
The people that are planting outside. And then the 420 extravaganza is your chance to stock up on the finest with major savings across the board, as a lot of people will be doing on 420. And then Earth Day, which is right around 420. I believe I haven't celebrated that in a minute. Slacking.
Earth Day.
Celebrate sustainability. With extra discounts and free shipping. It's a month of growth, community, and unforgettable flavors at SeedsHereNow.com. They're also on our pros list if you guys want to try out some coupon codes at DudeGrows.com/pros. I think Bean wrote that. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He's like,
Sounds kind of if you ask me.
Was it National Gardening Day he's celebrating, man?
Can I throw in a question to Hot Rod? I think we were talking about this before the show, Scotty. You asked about terps. And here's like a situation. Maybe I have a bunch of really good weed, which you guys will say it isn't, but it can get you really high, but it doesn't have that flavor or smell. Like how are
you saying? Dude's better, man.
Dude, I don't like. He's like, if I can't, you know, have that taste, I'm not interested. What if you could add back terps that were, I don't know if this is the right terminology, botanically extracted from cannabis?
Like here, hit like it, man.
Or taken from cannabis and put into like a bottle, and I can add like whatever organic botanical blueberry that was, you know, back into my bag, and then I got dank.
So you combine you combine two of the different things. You combine the cannabis derived terpenes, CDT, and then the botanically derived terpenes.
If Grambo, you mind showing this? This is where what Hot Rod was talking
CDT.
About here.
I've never personally used it to spray on flour or anything. But I have added the cannabis-derived terpenes to distillate to make, like, vape carts and everything.
Dude, that is description is skunky cereal milk.
Wow. I'm in.
Full of that.
The website we're on now is right here based out of Golden, Colorado, which is right next to Denver. And they do all these different extractions. And if you go on the true cannabis-derived terpenes, like, at the top, you can just search, like, Skittles. And they have... Skittle terpenes, like, extracted from Skittles. Then they have
Where
a different one.
Where are they getting
one.
These terpenes from?
I mean, guess the cannabis ones, they say they're growing Skittles and extracting the terpenes from Skittles.
Don't
it's
they
a
need
true...
those terpenes? What, are they throwing the rest
it's,
out?
It's from acres of boof that they can't sell on the flower market.
Acres of boof, man.
But
it's
the cannabis
awesome.
Ones
sound
are...
like a movie.
The cannabis-derived ones are way more expensive on here. But if you go and buy, like, the botanically sourced ones or anything, and they still say Skittles... or whatever one you want to search on here. I'm just using that one for reference. The cannabis ones are like, let's just say $15 for 1 milliliter. The other ones are $10 for a milliliter. And so people are just using them for
adding
vape carts and
everything.
What are they
marketing it for? Are there not, the use, I can't see the screen here, but are they marketing it as like a, essential oil? Or are they saying, hey, you can spray this on your weed and smoke it? Like, I can't see. What's the end user supposed to do with it?
On here, they're saying it's to spray your weed, to add to edibles, to add to your flower, to add to your vapes and everything you're using. And then they even say if you want to, you can add it to your hash. But if I find out someone's adding this to their rosin, that's going to be a big conversation we need to have.
Right.
It's going to happen, man. Give me some orange. I'm going to make this double orangegasm now, Jeff.
It's an abomination to humanity.
Now you just grow one kind of weed and then just sprinkle different flavors on all of it, and you got 12 different things to offer.
But I know all these different flavors, so if anybody sprays their weed and tries to enter into the DGC cup, I'm calling you out.
Now, there's no way as far as spraying flower, I can't imagine that would turn out decent quality and fake anybody out.
I don't know if it's going to fake you, but you know it's sprayed, and it has good flavor, and it has good taste.
It like, does over have in, good flavor and taste?
Over in New York, like there's this brand called Sprinkles, and they're selling you like funky funfetti cakes, and like that's like the bag. It's like all these like five different keywords of flavors together, so they're putting like all these different terpenes, and they're just spraying the weed and selling you eighths like that, and their whole brand is just selling sprayed packs. It's crazy. But that's what
the cup.
I didn't hear you. What'd you say, boss?
Are you competing?
Are you competing it?
Yes, sir.
DGC cup?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I was gonna say if you weren't, you could be our official DGC like security guy. You go around.
Sprayed out.
I gotta respect the inside of your car for fake terpenes.
We gotta train.
Mind hooking me up, brother?
Take a dab. We already got one pack.
Yeah. All right. Might as well earn the age gating this time, you know.
We need a retired like drug dog that we could train to sniff artificial terps, and so we can just.
See, but some of them are cannabis derived, so it's going to be really hard to tell if somebody is spraying their stuff. So. Yeah.
Tell me more about that, man. There's cannabis derived, and then there's the ones from fruit, right?
Yeah, so there's, like he was saying, the botanically derived terpenes. So, like, if you want to grab blueberries and you're grabbing all your blueberry terps out of that, so that's going to have way more of a fruity candy flavor and everything if you go and add that to a vape cart. Now, if you go and grab,
you smoke that?
Yeah, they're recommending it on there to smoke.
I know you can. No. Are you supposed to?
No, you can't. You shouldn't. It's all bad. Don't do it.
But yeah, so they're the botanical ones, they're extracting straight from there. But then like the cannabis ones, they're more earthy, woody smelling. Even like if you get blueberry, grapes or whatever, because they're still coming from a cannabis plant, that doesn't taste like an actual blueberry, you know? So it definitely has like the weedy smell and everything to it. So if you go up and you smell someone's thing and it smells like candy, you know they sprayed it with the botanical terpenes.
Oh, my shit smells super good, so don't say that, because mine smells like lemon candy.
No,
so
you can tell the difference between a sprayed candy terp and a weed candy terp. There's a big difference.
Yeah, and guys, as I've seen in the comments, some people are like, oh, this is so gross. It's interesting to talk about, though. As long as we got people here that know about this stuff, it really is interesting. Yeah, you should.
You should know that it's happening, it could be happening in your market. If you're buying... it could be from a dispensary or off the street. You should be aware that it could be being sprayed with aftermarket terpenes. And that's something. If they're doing that, what else are they doing?
And if you notice right now, a big hot variety is blueberry muffins. So watch out.
That blueberry is that the hot variety? That one is great, man. That was the only one when I smelled it. I was like, yeah, I get blueberry muffins out of it.
Yeah, so now I can take my half an acre of booth, spray some blueberry shit on there, and say, hey, I got blueberry muffin, put it in a bag, and voila.
See, the sad thing is, this isn't new. They've been doing this forever, but people have just now been doing it. Like, over on Florida, we've known about sprayed packs. We've known about terpene-infused packs and everything.
That has been going on for a while.
So, I mean... allegedly, since I've been knowing about it, since at least 2015, 2016, I know people have been spraying packs on everything. Because then that was like the Moon Rocks thing. Because then they came in there and they started spraying it with distillate and rolling it around with Keef and everything. So they had two different things. They either sprayed it with terpenes and gave you some crappy weed that smelled good now, or they sprayed it with distillate and gave you some crappy weed that had some Keef on the top of it now. So it's been going on for a long time. But those brands like Sprinkles and everything, they're making it way too popular. And the the fact that you guys want this, like, stop.
No,
stop,
I don't
please.
Think that our audience really wants it.
No, but the market in New York and, like, those East Coast, sure. It's so big. It's so sad. It's so scary.
People are different. You sound like dude now, man, all right? People are different. Who knows?
I was going to say, if you could read Chat Hot Rod, you know they are not the ones asking for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, do me a favor. Good. This Groff North good. America I saw. Custom cannabis formulations. I just had no idea that it was like, this is what you're getting at the dispensaries. And so this is like when we're buying dabs or specifically carts. Yeah. And I'm like, damn, this thing tastes great. That's probably artificial terps.
It might not be artificial, but they might be added back terpenes. So if you're getting a distillate card or anything, guaranteed they're adding some sort of terpene back into there.
Yeah.
And then there are a lot of popular brands out of like California and these bigger markets, like recreational markets. I forgot the name of the machine, but there's like this machine that infuses.
Oh, I got it, man.
It infuses. It does a whole bunch of stuff. It kills mold. It remediates your stuff, this, that, and the other.
Two ones down is the box, if you would.
But yeah, that thing is there, and they're not required to tell you they are using this machine. They are not required to tell you they are infusing the flower with this stuff. So
that's
you kind of got to trust your brands out there nowadays. Just because you go to the dispensary doesn't mean you're getting something that's good for you, because they are not required to inform you that they are doing these processes now.
Yeah.
And if I may, I always give the advice to know your farmer. Know where your fucking weed is coming from. Know that farm. Know how they get down. And then buy loyal.
Yeah, I agree. There's somebody that cares about you. And you support them. A little symbiosis going on there. So I'm looking at the box. Grambo, show the box.
Make friends with your local dispensary and try to make friends with the grower there and find out if they smoke the weed that dispensary sells. That's a good way to find out if that product has been having some weird stuff done to it. Will that grower smoke it?
Even
the and find out if your shop is vertically integrated. Are they reliant only on a wholesale market where they're getting shit from God only knows where? Or are they growing the shit you're smoking a big part of it? You know what I mean?
What's very interesting about the languaging here is the way the box markets it. You can see right here, it's like sterilizing 50 to 500 pounds of cannabis per shift. They're literally like building into their advertising, like, it's all around, like, hourly, like, cutthroat, squared off, ugly. Yuck.
That's what happens when you buy based off of dollars, guys. When you're like, every time I hear you guys talk, oh, I can get an ounce for 80. Oh, I can get the ounce for 75. Oh, I can get it for 72. That's what you're going to get, guys. When somebody has a whole room full of powdery mildew, they can't afford to throw it away because their bottom line is $72.
Hot Rod talks like he's at the WWE. When y'all be talking about these terpenes, I be hearing it. Hot Rod's going to get you.
The next time, $180
ounces.
Come around here, brother.
Terpenes.
So, but this, the
you get what you pay for, guys. You get what you pay for.
Oh, you definitely do.
You did say something about sterilization. I think this is like it hits it with a bunch of ozone to kill any powdery mildew.
Ozone, I think UV, they do a bunch of different things.
Is it
in there.
UV? I don't.
Probably just nukes it, then reinfuses and calls it a day.
So it faked her. Yeah.
And it's got a simple interface for all your economic slaves to work away all day.
Once again, I'm loving their marketing here. The box, use it as a kill step because, as they say, an ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure.
Yeah.
The box. Do you have high C writing for you?
I like this. We can custom formulate any cannabis product. You pick the cannabinoid, the compound, the ingestion method, the product type, the strength, the packaging, and we make it for you. And we'll try to beat any confirmed price.
It sucks while it cuts.
I've had a theory called the slurry for years that I've talked about. I've said that eventually we're going to walk up to a machine and stick in our card, and it's going to spit out the concentrate of your choice. So they're like, oh, you like rosin? Well, here's a rosin base with, oh, you like this much THC, this much CBD with this many terps? Here's your little mixture. And each one of us will have our own custom, you know what I mean? I'll walk up and get this lemon cushy flavored thing that rocks my world, and JR will have his perfect one. Sounds like these guys already beat me to the slurry, man. It's here. It's real. Something
it's like
I've been talking
Coke
about.
It's like Freestyle machine, but for
yeah,
rosin.
Yeah, remember
that's
that.
Awesome.
You are right. It is like, well, do you think that'll happen?
Yeah.
I hope not.
In fact, Hot Rod might have just discovered the branding. Dab, like, concentrate freestyle machine.
I mean, all that's doing is putting syrup, which replaced syrup with terpenes.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, guys, hurry up. Shut this episode down. Yeah. Delete this segment.
I like Patting the sour right diesel now. Creamsicle one. You
that
know?
Does sound like some Idiocracy stuff, Jeff. Like, try our new slurry.
It all sounds yeah. like it, man. Click yep. the next. Do you see the Cure Egg Terpene Infuser? Yeah.
This guy?
I'm going to get one of these. Why not?
You would.
I saw this in Spaceballs. I'm almost certain.
Dude,
rapid grandma, hydration.
You're like an honorary 50-year-old.
So I know. Well, okay. I'm the cable guy. Cure Egg Terpene Infuser. What is going on? Is this AI's fault? Did AI do this?
Doesn't that look like the one time I bought oregano and glue?
Yeah, I was going to say, that looked like horrible weed. I didn't see any crystals, any trikes on that bud at all.
The future of terpene restoration.
Oh,
no, get out of here. That's how you know they're ripping us off, because they give us funk.
Oh, you can get weed now, RJ, and you're not going to go to jail for it, but the weed you're going to get is terrible these days. That's why we have this podcast and you have yours.
Look at all the bluster in order to get to the video of
this thing. Man?
As an editor, I immediately go, well, this is a lot of animation.
He looks cool, man. He's wearing the egg as a hat.
Yeah, Rasta Jeff is the Pope. He's the dope Pope.
A bunch of dreads under there, man. Dope Pope. Wow, aroma infusion. Yeah, that is oregano. Right,
yeah,
bro.
That looks like oregano.
Or is that AI?
I think it's CG or AI. Yeah.
Did you say AI won't draw weed?
Wow. Yeah, I was telling Scott before the show to get it to draw weed. Sometimes I'll tell it to draw triangle leafed plants.
I think that was the weed soda grew.
That definitely was some soda weed.
Wow, this is funky.
Out of the soda.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Flavonoids.
They just used stock weed images so that they can advertise, so they didn't really put weed up there. Because right. YouTube will mess with them like they do us.
Anyway,
I went down the
rabbit hole on this, man.
Just grow good weed, guys.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was just going to say. Just grow good weed. Hey, Jeff, what terpenes are you going to be releasing here in the near future with your profiles?
Oh, man. It sounds like you've been paying attention and you're trying to bait me, and I like it. I am bringing back the skunk, bro. I've been messing with some skunk. I've got I got three batches of seeds that were old school. I'll reveal a lot more about those in the future. And I got a clone. And I bred the three batches and the clone all kinds of different directions. And I put a bunch of different females in the room when the pollination happened. So there's skunk across to different skunks and different chems, skunk to Durban Poison. I put the skunk to everyone. So I'm planting that old school skunk turf. I like the old school turf from the skunk and the new stuff together. So it's all coming together. Strawberry skunk and skunk.
Ooh.
Chem 91 skunk, Durban Poison skunk. Yes.
Yeah.
That'd be stanky.
Anybody know how to use this, man?
It's just a hot knife.
What is
it? So it's the hot knife. So you just scoop your dabs like normal, and then there's a little button on it. You just push the button, and then it gets the tip hot, so the dabs fall right off into where you're trying to dab. So you don't have to like
that.
Technically, you could. There would be a little bit of vapor.
I feel like I need another piece. I feel like I need another piece to this. All right.
How many people have done that? How many people have done that? Man?
But it'll drop right into your email. Super easy that way.
Sure, I got a. Oh, into the email. Okay, yeah. Now somebody I can just back me up one of those. Hey, do me a favor. Let me see that contraption. Is that a Focus V? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's the Carta by Focus V.
Do you like it?
I love it. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, Grambo is bitching about his.
Yeah.
The Puffco. I'm on Grambo's side with that one.
Yeah, no Puffco.
You know who broke
no
the Puffco?
No.
We know who broke Grambo's Puffco.
Well, I remember I ordered a new one. They sent it, and it was dead in the box when it arrived.
Aww.
So I had the exact same issue with the OG Puffco. I have the new. Well, I had the new Puffco, but Kentucky Highway Patrol allegedly has that one. So I ended up trying.
They smoke?
No, I got pulled over, and they just took it from me and sent me on my way.
Hey, we got a
bastards.
We got an awesome super chat from Jay Wax from Australia. Scott, he's asking if you have any plans to get recharged to Australia. Is there any way we can get it to Australia?
I don't know. That's a tall order.
Yeah,
man.
Well, thank you, Jay Wax, for that super chat.
Jay Wax, I can't even get it into Canada, man.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's probably your best bet. Canada. Attack through Canada, Jay Wax.
You know what? So I think Amazon worldwide, they do ship it worldwide.
Okay.
So you might have a chance there, but
Try it on Amazon, Jay.
Thank you. I appreciate this support. It feels really good when people are asking for Recharge and Grodos. From
and he paid $8 Australian to ask that. So
Hell yeah, man. That's like 40 US, bro.
How much is that in Canadian?
Proper shout out, realgrowers.com. You know, makes these panel shows possible. So get yourself some Recharge. Approved to grow, realgrowers.com for those grow dots and the Recharge.
Yeah. Hey, I got to say, there's a Growing with Grow Dots Facebook group, and it is cool to see. I think it's up to like 3,000 members. It is really cool it's to getting see all popular. These people having success.
There's a guy, he might be in the chat. Comment if you're here in the chat. His name is Growing with, his YouTube handle is Growing with Grow Dots. So I see him all the time. If you're here, comment, buddy. We'd like to see you.
Okay, deal.
Yeah. That's wild. That's
his so YouTube cool, name, like, not just like for us, for everybody.
I'm going to change my name officially. You can change your name legally, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to be Growing with Grow Dots.
I mean, you're halfway there, bro.
That's three. It's the first, middle, and last name, man. Middle name with.
GWG.
Mr. Grow Dots? Mr. Grow Dots.
Mr. Dots.
Man, praising Mr. Dots. If we want to talk about hempy flyer up hempy. Jeez, man. I think it hit me. All right.
My eyes look closed. I just saw the camera.
Help us, dude.
No, but flowers, seriously, as opposed to going for dabs. Drying and curing, or especially I've been working on lowering my humidity down. And we talk about temps too, but the last few weeks of flower. You guys got any tricks to coax some terps out, or at least not lose them for the last few weeks of flower?
Me, I like to grow those, like Jeff said, those cushy strains. So in my mind, I'm thinking mountainous, cushy regions. I want those colder nights, and I want those, you know, those kind of lower temps as we're guiding through the flower and into the end of the harvest. And the other thing is I like my humidity to be down, because those are drier regions. It's not equatorial there, so I like my humidity between 52 to 60% humidity, never above 60, or I'm freaking out. And so that's how I guide those terpenes and those gland heads through the last productions of their life. And also, I think that, like you said, the drying and the curing, I think I found kind of like a little hack for beginners who are looking to get that final step done pretty easily. And so what you do is you get a decent lumber meter that's going to read your lumber and materials. I get the analog one. You put settings.
We're not from Oregon.
That's like
bro.
For like if you're reading your sheetrock or your plywood or any of that. It's got two little prongs. You can order it on Amazon.
Okay.
And it just reads the lumber and material moisture. And it can spit it out in percentages. So what you do is you put the two little stakes into a bud. And then you go in at about 8 to 9%. And I like to go into these bags that have the ability to release moisture and maintain a certain humidity level without losing your terpenes. Because the terpenes won't go through the membrane of this particular product. And so you use those bags for the first couple weeks so you don't have to constantly burp and screw up if you don't burp it right. Because if you don't burp in time and you go in too moist, bingo bango, you fucked everything up. So these bags for that first couple of weeks will kind of help guide you to not have to be so on your burping. And then so once you get out of those bags after a couple of weeks, you go into a dark mason jar, amber, blue, paint it, whatever you tape it, whatever you got to do. Make it dark, and then get one of those vacuum jar sealers off Amazon. It's just a little easy vac, pops on a wide mouth jar, and it'll vacuum seal that jar in a dark vessel. And then you just keep that in a cool, dark place, and you're going to have maximum long storage, and you should be able to get through that last little window without totally fucking everything up.
Are you putting a pack in there? Something to at least regulate a little bit of the moisture? Or you're just doing
No. No, no, because the bag is set for 62%. Mm. So it will keep everything inside of it, just like the produce industry and the herb industry. So you don't need to worry about any kind of chemistry that's going to happen from that pack giving you moisture, or usually taking away moisture is not a big deal. It's when those packs give moisture that it becomes a topic that we've all talked about before. So if you use this bag system, you don't have to worry about that, and it keeps it at 62% for that couple weeks while you're in that volatile period of stabilizing that inner moisture. Because when that inner moisture creeps out, it can get you, it'll melt your heads, and then you'll just be so sad.
What do you mean? That'll affect the trichome heads? I thought it would just give me mold.
I mean, I think Jeff could probably speak to that. If you have too much moisture in a jar, what it can do to your trichome heads.
Not just the trichome heads. It's going to make everything start to smell funky and taste funky.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to give you that anaerobic, spicy, moldy. I can't even describe it. That hay smell, spicy hay.
Oh man, it's even worse than that. That's the smell of 3 months ruined.
It's like mildew, basement, yuck.
Oh man, yeah, I never made a song about that. Yes. Oh shoot, man.
I can hear the song. Wow.
And the nice thing about that vacuum seal is you could like stick it in your suitcase and travel, and it doesn't smell at all. It's sealed up and you're good to go.
Hey, I'm looking. You know what? What inspired me is a DGC post by Your Mom Tucks Me In. And you go on, let's just think about that for a second. You know, you got all the names in the world and you pick Your Mom Tucks Me In, huh? I like it. Yeah, terpenes evaporating during grow. You want to see if we can help them? Yes?
I think, you guys can hear me okay?
Yeah, yes.
Okay,
this
cool.
is a question.
I think JR just kind of touched on that, and I just want to make sure we make time for the shipping clones coming up as well, because I want to hear about that. We got some experience on the panel.
We have all the time in the world, sir, man.
Good point.
Terps evaporating during growth by Your Mom Tucks Me In. Books like Mr. Groic suggest temperatures of 75 to 85 degrees during week 1 to 3 of flower, then 65 to 80 during weeks 4+. Should temperatures not be kept at 60 to 65 during the whole flower time? If terps evaporate during the dry cure with higher temps, then surely they can do the same while growing. Logically, temps should be 60, 65 during all the flowering cycle, right? Man, your plants are going to grow slow if you get them at that, you know, that temperature. Yeah, talk about it, y'all.
It's going to slow down all the productivity in the plant at that cold during the daytime. And you want some swing. You want some difference in your daytime and your nighttime. And that's definitely, that helps with your flavor as well, I think.
Really? The differential does?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I have no proof in it, but here in Colorado, we get, what are they called, cantaloupes. And those cantaloupes are extra super sweet here. People talk about how nice our cantaloupes are.
Oh, Rocky Fords,
statement. The Rocky Ford cantaloupes. You know them, and you're miles away from there. And that's because that diurnal swing. It's really hot in the daytime, and the nighttime it's super cold, and they think that's what makes those cantaloupes super sweet like that. And I believe that does have some effect on our plants as well.
Hmm. How do y'all accomplish that?
That would make sense. It could be like a natural antifreeze. The sugars are trying to, like, it's preventing it from freezing at night. And then that's the Hybrix plants.
Yeah, we talk about stress, positive stress, just the right amount. You know, it gets too cold. How do y'all accomplish by the way?
What kind of tool is a Canadian cure, too. That's where you just let your buds cure on the plant out on your back porch in Canada when it's like fucking sub-zero, and then it just like kind of dry freezes. You're good to go.
How do you get the room that condition? Air conditioner, plenty of ventilation and air conditioning is the only way to achieve that nice cool temperature. Fans don't create cold air. No matter how many fans you put up, you won't get cold air. You're going to move the heat. Air conditioner is the best way to do it.
But the difference between day and nighttime temperatures is what I'm saying, though. I mean, because I don't have that kind of control on my air conditioner.
Yeah, that's the thing, Scotty, is you have most of those newer mini splits. I'll have a timer on there that you can set times for this and you can set times for that. So you can have your daytime temperatures at one and your nighttime temperatures at another.
Got it. Got it. I remember I got a comment one time. Is that a dog snoring in the background? So, yeah, it actually is.
It's better than him farting, man. He was about to clear us
oh
out.
Oh, my God, dude.
This dog I saw Scotty dying. Bad,
man. Whoa, this dog's cute, but he got some farts, man. All right, dude, take it, brother.
Yeah, we had a comment from the Green Bowl Packer. It says, with a hemp license, you can ship clones anywhere, but technically the buyer should have one as well, which I've heard a lot.
Sorry, yeah, I put this on for Jeff, and JR jumped in too. What's up with shipping clones, man?
Depends on where you are.
I feel like I'm at a party, man.
Depends on where the clone is leaving. A lot of people think that because of the farm bill, we can legally ship plants anywhere, but... in states with a marijuana enforcement division, those plants, unless you've done something to indicate that that's a hemp plant, that plant is considered a cannabis plant. You can't ship that if you've got a state with marijuana enforcement division regulations. Really? They wrote into their rules that all parts of the plant are considered a marijuana plant. The stalks, the seeds, the buds, the roots, it's all a cannabis plant. So unless you do something to indicate that that plant is a hemp plant, you legally can't ship it. In America, the United States, anybody shipping a seed or a clone in any way needs to have nursery or Department of Agriculture certifications.
That's
so
what I was going
to say. We can send those clones. The post office doesn't care, but legally, technically, you should be registered with your local Department of Agriculture. And you should have, if you're sending a clone, it would be ideal to send the clone to a lab and have that clone tested for the presence of cannabinoids. A clone in veg will not show any THC, even if it will flower with high THC. So have that clone tested and send the certificate with that clone saying there's no THC in that clone. Because you can send products without THC in them, and clones themselves don't contain the THC, just like seeds. That's how we can send the seeds.
Can you find that certificate online and just print it out somehow or just share it?
Yes. that's what they tell you. I have one. They give you a little, they go, just get a stamp and just stamp it on anything. It's just having that number. And then when a regulatory control agent only has like 400 or 500 nurseries. So they're going to look at that one day.
And you also can go through your Postmaster General and get it set up to where they know you have your certificates. And if any of your shit gets set aside or fucked with, you have a direct line that you can call them and say, hey, release my shit. I'm all certified and bang, bang.
Hemp Farmer White Labeling Program. I know the first person who did that, but I was going to give them a shout out, but I don't know if they want it. So I held back.
Right.
They taught me how to do it. I was possibly the second one to acquire one of those pieces of paper.
Really?
I need help, sir. I need help, sir. I need help.
Yeah, I've got the email in my phone. It's very easy.
Thank you.
Panel show, solving problems.
Yes.
That's what we do. What is the DGC?
Stealing the name.
DGC, so if don't get caught.
If you're in a state that does not have marijuana enforcement division, you can probably get away with sending things, but I would recommend that you have some sort of certificate saying there's no cannabinoids in whatever you're shipping, or at least have that available to you. I put it on my website so that if you do buy seeds and they get taken and somebody gives you problems, I can send you a link directly to my website that shows you the COA to the pack of seeds you bought. So I don't send it with everything because I send so many things, but it's on the website and it's accessible.
Yeah, I mean, you'll probably be okay as long as it's not your business model shipping clones. Right? Well, I mean, then you guys are going through the right channels, right? You said you actually did the work, man. It's not that hard, by the way. I don't know. Put it this way. They wanted $45, and I had to fill out a little bit of paperwork to get my bamboo nursery. You know, you need a phytosanitary certificate, you know.
Yep. But, it's the same thing in most states. You just go to the Department of Agriculture website And yep. In Colorado, if you want to sell seeds, you have to acquire a seed sellers and seed sellers and labelers license. That was pretty easy. That was very affordable. Yeah. If you want to sell clones, you just need a hemp farmer's license, and that's very affordable.
The key I'm trying to unlock is I want to be able to provide genetics to the rec farms in my state. Because in the state of Oregon, those guys got it bad, man. Getting good, genetics that are not bug infested or boof or whatever,
right,
is tough. It's really tough. They don't have access to a lot of really good, healthy, stable, good genetics. Unless they're vertically integrated and they have their own breeding programs and all that stuff. So I should take that back. That's not an entirely true statement.
In Colorado, we're limited. We're not supposed to bring in new stuff. They set a limit. They said, hey, this is your time. We'll close our eyes, sneak in your shit now. And then when that time was over, no more stuff. Anything that is in the Colorado Marijuana Enforcement Division system has been bred or created within a cultivation facility in that system, allegedly. We all know shit happens, but
yeah, it's the same. We have a 90-day window here in Oregon.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm probably going to wrap this up soon, but I had one or two more questions, especially JR. I know you make a lot of edibles. Does terpenes matter when you're making edibles?
No, when I make RSO, all the terpenes are lost.
Is it?
That is taken out of the equation. And that was also what kind of led me down that weird rabbit hole with Tiki Rain, because it has a very profound effect in the flower, but that profound effect transferred through in the RSO, and I know the terpenes are lost in the process of all that heat and evac of evaporation of all the alcohol and stuff.
But it still works.
Just like the flower, but times 10,000.
And it's just because it's just tons of THC.
Actually has very low delta 9, very high THCA, equal amounts of delta 9 and CBG. It's got, man, the profile on the RSO is almost equal across the board in the cannabinoid profile. It's a very different, the story behind it is a true sativa from our old classic way of describing things. A true sativa that was crossed with a true indica, so it's a true hybrid. But its chemical profile, when I first hit it, I knew it was different than any kind of recreationally type, all those like sedative type smokes that I've been smoking for the last 40 years. It's different, you know. It's almost, you know, sometimes when you get into those sativas and you know it's not like most of the weed you've been smoking around with your buddies.
Sure.
You just light into it and it just takes you different. It's kind of like that, but like I've described on the show before, is it's just you're really in your head and you don't feel much below your shoulders, and then it has a very delayed effect, like a creeper, like a classic creeper that we used to get back in the day.
I'll tell you on that sativa comment up here, I've been sharing some orangegasm with some fellow Canadians, and two of the reviews were like, I'm like, so what'd you think of it? And they're like, it tastes good. It's like different. Like, because they're so used to smoking, like, a heavy, gassy, I don't know, like, it's just interesting to not see any of it. They're not familiar with it up here in this market or what's available. So it's, like, more of a racy, get them going. And, yeah, so interesting.
Yeah.
And
there
are different things popular in different markets. It's like, is L.A. market a lot different than ours?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And what is that
LA's
like?
All ice cream cakes, cushions, vanilla frosting type of stuff.
Why? What makes that place lean that way?
Lemon cherry gelato and runs all day long over there.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yep.
And that is just marketing, or what is that?
It's just what's popular over there. That's what everybody wants.
Yeah, right.
I guess marketing in bags and just making the cool.
But that's changing. As the market matures and people have access to 31 flavors, every market is going to be demanding, and I think breeders are starting to learn this in their diversification of their menus, is that they want to make sure they have a little bit of flavor instead of going, oh, this whole line is candy, you know. They're going to start mixing it up in their libraries to where they can start offering a good profile of flavors to folks.
Gotta have that candy though. I love Skittles.
And JR, the same stuff's popular up there, or that's popular as far as like between you and Rasta Jeff, or is there totally different flavors from Oregon to Colorado? I'm fascinated by this, man.
I'll let Jeff speak to that because I don't really know what's hot down there in Colorado, but up here we're still coming off that GMO train. You know, that GMO train hit us hard. And so now they're starting to diversify, and a lot of guys are kind of going back into the old library, and they're starting to bring some of the cool stuff forward. So we're going to start. I hope in Oregon you start seeing some of the good classics come around, because if you think about the menu before OG Kush, it was pretty diversified. But then when OG Kush came, it was like monster. And then after that, it was like Blue Dream kind of bit into that for a while. And then, you know, it's been different ever since. But up here, we've been coming off that garlic GMO-y type train.
A lot of people here are hot over, they're loving that permanent marker and that sort of stuff here. The permanent marker, yeah, there's another one.
I would agree, Jeff, yeah.
Hey, Grambo, you know your terps too.
Oreo.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Oreo has, that's one of those ones that's divisive, but yeah.
Yeah. But the garlicky stuff is still popular here. I push the garlicky stuff. I love that GMO, Fortissimo, dumpster funk sort of a smell. I love that.
Oh, the Fortissimo. That's the, yeah. Me and Jeff share the love of the Green Dot strains.
Oh, yeah.
They always,
yeah, Green Dot.
Hey, oh, and come on. Hey, if you want it. A really, if you, sorry, Scott, if you no want worries. A really good cut of that permanent marker, hit KikiCuts.com. He has tissue cultured, cuts of it available right now.
Not a clue. I had something to say like 10 seconds ago, but not a clue.
That dad changed you, bro.
You're changing, man. You're changing.
I think we need to give him another one. Maybe that'll fix
it. Yeah, I might fix it up, man. Any of you guys doing anything before we get out of here with Light Cycle at the end of your grow? We're talking about lights.
I'll get Jeff's camera ready.
It is the 18-6. That's what you're famous for, that, man. Tell everybody about it.
I kind of quit flushing, so that's another whole nother controversy there, but. The last 10 to 14 days when most of us would flush, I turned my light cycle back on to 18 hours on and 6 hours off. I feel like that last bit of photon energy makes my buds bigger, beefier, more dense. And they actually finish up a couple of days more quickly if I do that. Sometimes I can take them down sooner. A lot of people follow that question up with, do you change the intensity of your lights? Do I dial back the lights or anything?
Yeah.
No, that would defeat the whole freaking purpose of this. I'm trying to give them as much light as they could take. So turn the light back to 18.6 at the end of flower. That's my trick.
And what about DLI? Sorry, Scotty. What about the DLI, though? Don't they naturally just kind of want to snooze out after about 13 or 14 hours?
For the first couple days, yeah. But then you'll notice they start adjusting. They're like, oh, yeah, here it is. Like, they start enjoying it.
Hey, but that's DLI is photosynthesis, man. We're not really asking the plant to photosynthesize and build more plant material. We're just trying to get more trichomes or the trichomes to swell more. It's different.
It's for bud formation also. It's affecting the bud formation. There's full metabolism happening, so the buds are still growing.
Right.
All the processes are happening.
But as far as DLI, meaning if you're giving it over, DLI is, you know, just the maximum of light that your plant can absorb for photosynthesis. So they say it's a waste to give it any more than that. But... yeah, if you're trying to just go for trichome production, then it might not be a waste.
Are you dialing it up, or are you just hammering it right away?
Hammer it right back in.
Really?
There. Just change that back on.
You guys don't have... No, but I'm saying with... Oh, intensity? Man, Hot Rod, I'll tell you, my plants, man, they're burnt to hell. I turned the lights up too fast again. Man, it's tough to do it right, you know?
Hey, you're talking... Yeah, you're talking to a guy who went through... 2 years of fucking hell trying to figure that out.
It took me 2 years to switch from ATS to LED to get it right. It took 2 years to be proud. Yeah.
Yeah. Last time I came over here, I was kind of like, yo, that cut I gave you looks pretty bad, bud. It looks like light burn. And you're like, no, that's the CO2. And then now.
Oh, no, that was the CO2, man. I'll show you. That stuff's fixed.
I think in that combo of both, it was.
Oh, I had light burn. Yes. I've been messing it up the last couple times. That is just what's fun about. just being a hobby grower, you know, right. As I'm like, oh, I made that mistake. And by the way, give me a PPFD rating for what you guys are doing, just so, just because I have a light meter, I can mimic it.
I'll jump in there first. And yeah. Veg, I'm about, oh, let's start with clones. I'm about 140 to 200 for my clones, because they're coming off of mom plants, which are in my veg, right around, let's just say 420, because who doesn't love that number? And then we're going to go in flower. I'll double that. If we're not running CO2, I'm probably going to hit around 800.
Yeah,
if I'm running CO2, which I don't, I'll bump it up to 1,000, 1,200 or something. But I'm
don't make me
on
my chart,
900.
Man.
So I honestly kind of bump it up a little bit higher, because my center of my light will be about 1,000, so then my outsides are at like 650.
Okay. So. Man, that's a lot. 1,000 PPFD in flowering.
Yeah. Shout out HLG.
Yeah, right on.
That's
Jeff,
why.
That
that's why I like their Diablos, because they have the quantum board spread out.
Yeah.
So your drop that has a way better footprint. And I think I'm at like around 800, 860. And then for PPMs, I'm at 5 to 600 if I'm lucky.
You're not supplementing at all?
No, fresh in, fresh out.
Just hang out in your room a lot, man.
I'm in the north. Here, go ahead, dude.
I've seen JR's grow space, and this is why it works for some people and some people that don't. You have higher ambient levels of CO2 in your house. You and your wife are there a bit, work from home. You got one dog, or at least, don't you? Yeah, you guys got one dog. I mean, all that hell, and you're already in the basement where the CO2 stays at that level good. So his grow is probably doing okay with replacement air, where if you're not at home, nobody's there, and your plants are sucking it down and goes down to like levels of shit performance.
Yeah,
I still go by the old rule of every 5 minutes I want a total air a total room exchange, you know. So yeah, I want that whole room to be cranking out good, fresh, delicious Northwest air.
If I were you, man, I'd double the dogs. I'd get another dog and exhaust them to grow.
Hey, you know, I tried those T&B, like, plastic bottle things. And
yeah,
I thought about doing the tub of, like, and then they were like, oh, you can do mushrooms. And you can't put mushrooms in your grow because the trichoderma just fucking go to town. And it's not good. It's not good.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's a pro tip. That's interesting.
Yeah, you got to brew beer in there.
Ah, the yeast will
That's what
up.
They said. Yeah, that's what they said. You could do buckets of ferments and stuff, and it'll burp out what you need. But I'm afraid I'll dump that bucket over and be in trouble.
Hopefully none of that sulfuric acid.
Yeah, ain't gonna hurt nothing. A little bit ain't gonna hurt nothing.
It'll bleach it a little bit.
Oh, man.
Did you guys ever discuss that? Just to, because we have you and JR in.
What's that?
JR had posted about how his garden and Uncle Jim's garden were the same genetics, but his was a little bit lighter with CO2. Did you guys ever talk about that with the sulfuric acid that it creates?
No, that's because
or the
of
carbonic
the
acid.
Thing.
Yeah. Well, didn't Uncle Jim use a burner?
Yeah, he uses and he uses it from natural gas that he like feeds his house.
So Scott kind of cracked that. I didn't know if you guys ever discussed your scientific sleuthing.
Yeah, I think we talked about it before,
okay,
but it's
cool.
Yeah, we're just talking about the burner, man. I had bad luck. I think last time you were here and I was showing you what it looked like with the burner.
Yeah, they looked like they were all light burn to me, but then you figured that out.
I'm telling you, man. Once I changed the burner again. Just
back to bottles.
Yeah, regular bottles, man. Right. Took a while, but it fixed it.
Nice.
Yes.
Hot Rod, we're only supposed to talk about people's grows on the non-live show so we can make edits. Scotty would be like, hey, we can't. Nope. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm having a good time experimenting with my grow. And I was keeping
always
it at 600 PPFD for a while. And then I kind of got PPFD envy. Where I was like, I need to be up at 1,000.
Right.
But it's that's a lot, man. I'm happy 800. I'm going to get good at dialing my lights up to 800 PPFD. Yeah.
Bruno Valentina's in the
yes.
in the chat says, get a Yankee candle for CO2. Get those vanilla terps.
It's dude, man. Dude loves those.
No.
Yeah, that's my new goal, though, man. That's playing, awesome. Playing with the CO2 and the amount of light. Maximize photosynthesis, bro.
I'm going to say great panel, man. Let's have you guys
wants
to give some shout outs. I know, Jeff, you probably got some sales, some 420 stuff. We can start with you. What's going on with the Irie Army? And
oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks for having me. First of all, it's been fun being on these Monday shows all the time. IrieGenetics.com. There's a link to Irie Direct to get seeds, a link to my Discord, a link to my podcast. Everything's at IrieGenetics.com. But yes, there's a big sale on IrieDirect.com. The 420 sale is live now. The new drop is the April O'Neil and Baxter Stockman. Nice. So go get those. They will sell out. I'll have a few.
How can you have a 420 sealed now? It's live now? You're jumping the gun.
Well, yeah, because all the other breeders are going to do it on 418, and now I've already got your money, so I win.
I mean, it's close enough, man, okay? Yeah.
I'm going to be out of town. I'll be gone for 420. I can't do a lot of web editing and things, so I thought we might start early, and yes, so we're going to get it going early and start that.
Sorry, go ahead. You're in the middle.
Packs. Most of my new drop will sell out. I promise it will sell out, but I've got a few, very few reserved for the DGC Cup, for the people that show up at the Cup.
Oh, right,
so
on.
Left for you guys at the Cup, so you can get them in person.
Yeah, and Jeff, thank you for your generosity. I'm over there. We ship out. Actually, we don't, man. Whatever my fake, whatever, man. you're very generous. I appreciate it, man.
I'm glad you guys noticed. And
Trips
thank you.
Company,
you guys,
man.
Return.
Yeah, it's Trips
I will
Company.
Tag on to that DGCCup.com June 1st, guys. Bring it. Get your tickets. I will, like Roster Jeff says, it will sell out. Actually, the sponsor has been great this year, guys. We have 30 vendors, a bigger tent, professional bud tenders serving up a lot of good homegrown. So ddccup.com.
Very cool.
JR Token, what's up?
We just did some great interviews with Miles from Fermented Plant Extract on Cannabis, and he'll be at the Cup. He'll have a booth there, and he has a new tonic that he's developed for your mycelial mats. If you've had problems with contaminants, he took some pulse stamen studies and worked on some ferments that are biological allies to your mycelial mat, folks. So check out that interview we did with him. We did a great interview with Brad from Raw Genetics. He has a great release of genetics that he's put out on his clone menu, secretselections.io. And also I want to shout out to Tiki. He sponsored our booth and actually bought me a booth to have at the OG Hempire Invitational here in Oregon. It's basically a Dew Gross Cup for Oregon Rec Farm. So we're going to have Cannabis is going to have a booth there, and come hang out. It'll be a good time, I promise. We got all kinds of goodies.
Hell yeah. Ooh.
Nice. Hot Rods.
So Hot Rods _ head stash and Hot Rods _ clone on Instagram. I'm taking after Jeff's model. If you guys hit me with DGC Live, we got 50% off clones all April long.
Awesome.
So we got 10 different genetics. We got just like JR with his clones and everything. We're all HLVD tests and everything. So nice. We got all new tests coming in this week. So we won't sign anything out until we get everything clean and clear. So get your garden and everything ready, guys.
Hell yeah. Very cool.
And
Can I throw in one more thing real quick?
Yes.
So I just want everybody, guys, please bug these guys to have like a little side competition at the Cup. We need to have like a little table at the Cup,
table.
Right? So we need to have like an extra 10 people at the Cup maybe. So that's extra tickets for these guys. They can make a little more money, guys.
Whoa.
But then, hey.
I like money.
Only if it can be judged by the staff.
I mean, I want it to be judged by everybody. Everybody, when you come into Denver, there's hitters.
And I try.
Glass shops everywhere. So get a little one-hitter nectar collector thing. They're like $10.
All right.
And if you want to judge the hash, you know, there's more than 10 of us around here. But I'm sure we can get 10 people to join in and try and have a hash competition here.
I don't know. God, that sounds...
I'm going to enter my emergency.
Yeah, I think
Hot Rod's going to squish for me next week.
Out of control so fast.
So come on, guys. Please comment. Let's get a little another category going.
Comment. Let us know what you think.
1 gram of each entry so I can officially test it.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
Right. That's what I'm saying. We also need a seed swap, folks. Bring seeds. Let's do a seed swap table.
Yeah.
Where we all get together and do some genetic swaps. Those are always fun.
Somebody's getting HLVD, man. Oh, man.
Make mine a double.
Yeah.
I'll throw some on the table. I'll put a couple packs out there just to initiate some stuff.
You know I'm bringing some raw gear.
Yeah.
Very cool. What you got, dude? You want to wrap it up, sir?
What's that?
I said you want to wrap it up?
Wrap it up,
never. Never.
It's good hanging out, man.
Hanging out. Thanks, everybody in the chat, man. I'm trying to keep an eye on that. Sometimes it's show distracting, but in a good way. So appreciate y'all hanging out. Comment, like, subscribe. And, yeah, peace out, man. Stay higher, guys.
All right. Brothers Take it love. Easy, all y'all.
Take it easy, dude.
All right. Later, y'all.